Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It is so good to be here at Old South Church, and not Christmas time. Some people said Junior early. I mean, that could be late, depending on how you look at it. But nevertheless, it's really good to be here and to see friends and to see workers who have been in the vineyard with City Mission for many years and some who have been in for a few years. So it's good to see you. I want to recognize John Dale, who's one of our board members and a visiting Episcopalian this morning. So John, could you stand? And then if there's any staff, if they are here, they missed their assignment. Oh, Stephanie's here. Thank you, Stephanie Ohm. Thank you, John. Stephanie Ohm is our new development associate, so you'll be hearing from her in days to come. So I want to, before I start, do a couple of things. First, I want to thank you for having City Mission here. Your pastor is always gracious when I call. She knows where to find me when I'm not answering my cell phone. She's really good at finding people. Some of you might know that. And she's really good because she has a passion for this work in the city. And she's held in such high esteem in so many circles. And when Nancy Taylor's name is mentioned, we know that something's going to happen. So I thank God for her and her ministry here and her staff. The next thing that I want to say is to get you to practice something. Now, I preach in the African-American tradition, and usually there's a big old clock in the back. Right? In the churches I preach in. So you're going to have to help me with my time thing this morning. So, but what I want to do is to let us enjoy the word and being with one another. And if we could just practice saying the word I love to hear, amen. Can we practice? Amen. Do it again.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
Now I know you can do it. So if you feel moved, please say amen. It sort of encourages us to minister along in the word. So thank you very much. And I do read body language well when it's time to shut it down. Let us pray for the preach word. Let us bow and be in the spirit of prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the beauty of this day. And we thank you for all the voices and the words of worship and adoration that we lift to you. As we lift this word, O God, we'd ask that you would hide me, your servant, behind the cross, O God, so that your word might go forth boldly, so that when we all leave this place, we might be transformed and ready to continue to do your work in a world that so needs to hear a word from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The sermon topic is called The Best Invitation of All. And this invitation's directness and its brevity captures my imagination and curiosity. I marvel at the invitation in the light of the recent political rhetoric that has gone back and forth over the last few weeks with the special election for the seat that was vacant by Chuck Turner. You know, when you listen to election campaigns, they try to do what Jesus does in some ways. They try to capture our attention. They try to get our loyalty and get our support. The Christian writer Frederick Buechner said, at times, and he is a person who uses a lot of words, at times he must confess that he is word worry. But we notice in our text this morning that Jesus practices an economy of words. Two simple words, follow me. His appeal, his pitch, and his platform is very simple. Not a lot of words. It says, follow me. And it's so amazing in reading this text, we notice that those to whom he is addressing this text do exactly that. They begin to walk with Jesus. Just like that, you say, immediately, on a hunch, on hope. They drop everything. They dropped everything, family, friends, and careers, just to go with him. There was a sense of reckless abandonment here about this, just dropping everything and going. Some would even say neglect, to just get up and leave. But you see, their actions are not without precedent, because in the rabbinical tradition of the day, students would oftentimes take up company with a teacher. A teacher was viewed as a mentor. So it was assumed that the frequency of contact with this teacher, one would learn by example. James and to those that Jesus is addressing the call are not complete strangers either. Peter, James, and John had probably heard about Jesus. They might have witnessed his baptism in the River of Jordan by John, his cousin. They might have even seen or heard Jesus perform a miracle or two. Luke says that Jesus exorcised the demon out of someone in a church service. Oftentimes, Jesus didn't have a pulpit like this. Jesus would borrow a boat as people would come to the shore to hear him preach. So he would get in a boat, and the boat became the pulpit, and he would speak to the people out on the water. These are the things that happened before Jesus even offered the invitation. And whatever it was, those would-be disciples wanted more of it. So I ask you this morning, what is it that attracts you to Jesus? What is it that you might want more of? Is it Jesus' preaching and teaching? Someone said that they never heard anyone speak like Jesus. Is it Jesus' ability to calm the winds and the seas with words like, "Peace, be still," and the winds quietly obey? Could it be something about his name? The old folks sing a song, and I won't sing this morning. It says, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." There's something about that name. His name calms the pain. The Bible says that at the name and the sound of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. What is it that attracts you to Jesus this morning? You see, the invitation to follow me is an invitation to leave and to lose for those would-be disciples, to lose their friends, their families, their careers. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. Just as significantly for them, amen, for them and us, the invitation to follow means to lose understanding, beliefs, prejudice, and tendencies that Jesus would have us do without. Follow me and lose something, toss it aside, or be in the process of tossing it aside. As we think about our broken world that needs justice and God's reconciliating grace, this invitation calls us to do two things that were really important. First, we need to unlearn the problem of distance. Copley Square is not so far for many of us in the city. But for many of the young people that City Mission works with, many of our kids come from Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan, and Hyde Park, and West Roxbury. Copley Square is so far away. It is so far away. Our young people meet two nights a week to learn strategies for peace and to learn how they can begin to think about crafting a future for themselves with supporting adults. I always sigh at the notion that living in such close proximity to one another here in the greater Boston, we are yet considered to be so far away. The distance between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, roughly the distance that the Magi mistook in calculations to find the baby Jesus, is the distance that Jesus traveled. It's about 10 miles. Geographically, Mattapan and Roxbury and Dorchester and Hyde Park are not that far from Copley Square. But socially, culturally, and economically, and experientially, the differences are far. Yet the invitation to follow me is disturbing. Yet Jesus calls us to draw near to the most vulnerable, not because they're less sinful, but because they are the most sinned against. When we draw near to those who are most sinned against, our call is not first to make a difference, but to allow the pain of the encounter to disturb us. City Mission has a Seminarian in the City program, which is a learning laboratory which allows young seminarians and old seminarians to explore and to create a theology for doing urban ministry while actually practicing it on the ground in some of our various programs. 2 summers ago, we had a seminarian from the Divinity School. Now, you know which one that is. I'm not going to say. It's not the one I went to. But nevertheless, I love it. And this young woman was she came to be our seminarian in the city, and she had big plans for going back to Texas when she finished to lead a justice movement within her church and community. Her assignment was to go over to H Block, over to Grove Hall, where we do a lot of our work, which is the home of many beautiful people, as well as the home of the notorious H Block gang, and to engage and to teach these young people in our peace workshops and summer program. At the end of the first day, I did have my cell phone on, by the way, of teaching peace class, she called me and she was in shock. And she asked for another assignment, saying that she really couldn't relate to these young people, that after all, she was from a middle-class background. She was Southern. She was from Texas. And she lived in Cambridge, and she was 26 years old. I said, you know what? Why don't you go back tomorrow? Why don't you give it a little more time? You know, it's gonna get better. By the end of the summer, this young woman was transformed, and in her own words, I will share with you. I gave up my master plan. Beyond the headlines and the statistics and the homicide rates for black males between the ages of 18 and 24, I have found out that there are real kids who are in real pain. Kids with dreams. Kids with a lot of resiliency. Kids who have been to more funerals than weddings. Kids that need to learn how to be kids again. The numbers do not tell you about the poverty and the trauma and the fear that these young people confront on a daily basis. This young woman decided, to stick with the ministry, but to do it in a very different way. She decided to go and teach in a local school in the Boston area. You see, in unlearning the problem of distance, we can begin to ask and answer the question, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Secondly, the invitation to follow me is a call to have us unlearn innocence. It's a call to unlearn innocence. For the past few months, I've been involved in a program at another divinity school at Duke in a leadership course. And they have a wonderful Center for Reconciliation there. And one of the colleagues is from Luanda. And he said the church was there when all of the killing was going on between the two tribes. In fact, the Christian priests even participated in the killings. But he asked the question, but where is the church to which God entrusted the ministry of reconciliation? Where is that church? This could not only be said of Luanda, but it could also be said of the deep chasms between Christians and Protestants in Northern Ireland, and even in the days of apartheid in South Africa. Too often we have reproduced in the church what society has given us. And Martin Luther King said it best, 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour in this country. We tend to think of a segregated Sabbath as a kind of a biological fact in America. We need to unlearn distance, and we need to unlearn innocence. Things do not have to be the way that they are, but it requires us to open wide our eyes and our own, and to see our own brokenness and our own complicity, that we might be transformed And this transformation leads us to a place of vision, of hope, a place of beauty, and a place of peace. See, follow me. Two simple words can get you in a lot of trouble, right? Jesus' invitation is a call to us as people of God to witness boldly to God's hope and love and new life in a broken world. In the aftermath of the tragic shootings, the 5 shootings in Mattapan back in October, I put out a call. Somehow, Mona Lisa Smith from Citizens Bank got me stirred up about the fact that we need to do something. We need to say enough, enough. When we've been to too many funerals with young people in the coffin, the last one was too much, with a mother and a 2-year-old child in her arms. So we decided that we could do something. So City Mission was called on to be the prayer warriors. And then I said, well, I can't do this by myself. I need to call my people. And my people are the United Church of Christ people. And the call went out. And we had a march. We had a march that was not sanctioned by anybody. We had a march to close down Grove Hall at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon to let the mothers' voices be heard. And tears came to my eyes when I looked up and saw folk from this congregation and other congregations, United Church of Christ congregations. Because you see, what that said to me, showing up and being present, it says that we're really on the road to really opening our eyes wide and seeing some of the true and clear realities that we all are called to deal with. Follow me, the invitation. What we said to the world in that march is that our completeness is found in Jesus Christ and community coming together to create something new. This bold witness calls us to be present in a world and a community just as God is present in our daily lives. This bold witness proclaims that God, who is beyond the boundaries of language and class and experience, is a God that says yes to life, not just in Mattapan and Copley Square, but to the entire world. Following Christ is to give up the search for the meaning to life. For the answer is Christ and the love of God and our neighbors. To follow Christ, the invitation to follow me is an invitation to come alive, to be vibrant, to be content, and to be as fulfilled as Jesus Christ was in the love of God. So let me tell you a little story about this following stuff and how it can really get to be heavy. There was a crowd that had gathered at Niagara Falls. And what the crowd was looking at was a man. And this man had put a tightrope from one end of the falls to the other. And this man had asked the crowd, he said, would you like to see me walk over the tightrope? And the crowd said, yeah, they're egging him on. And he did. He walked over the tightrope and he was fine. But when he got to the other side, there was a blindfold there. And he says, do you want to see me walk the tightrope blind? And the crowd just, yeah, come on, let's do it. And he did it. And he got to the other side and they saw an old wheelbarrow sitting there. And he asked the crowd again. He said, you want to see me walk this tightrope blindfolded? With the wheelbarrow, and the crowd said, oh yeah, we want to see this. Come on, show me. So he did it. He walked the tightrope just perfectly. So he gets to the other side, and now he asks the crowd, who would like to get in the wheelbarrow? Nobody. There was not a word. There was not a word to be heard. Well, the invitation, follow me. Following Jesus can get you in trouble. But following Jesus can open us up to new realities. It can open us up to see new life. It can open us up to hope. It can open us up to trusting God with our very life as Jesus did. The Aramaic translation of the word follow doesn't mean the way that we use the word follow. When we say follow, our assumption is it's somebody coming from behind. But the Aramaic translation of the word follow means to walk side by side. To walk side by side. What a beautiful image of this Christ who walks side by side with us. Not only in the day-to-day realities and the day-to-day things that we have to deal with, but also a God who walks with us when we're called to come out of our comfort zones, when we're called to do something different. A broken world requires us to do something very different, radically different. And this is a radical Jesus who calls us to justice, a Jesus who calls us to reconciliation, a Jesus who calls us to love. A Jesus who calls us to love. So let us embrace this work. The kingdom of God is here, my friends. And let us embrace this work with love and hope and trust. Amen. As the organist prepares for our next song, and you find it in your book, this song is a beautiful song. It's called Take My Life and Let It Be. Consecrate it faithfully. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow with endless praise. That's the part where we praise God and thank God for who God has called us to be and how we are to praise God. But then it skips down and it says, take my love and help it grow. Let my loving overflow. Take me now and help me be part of Christ's community. That's the invitation. Follow me.